This week's episode of Hype is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype.
Welcome back to Hype Episode 59, Hypeable's flagship podcast, where we bring you all of the latest news that you need to know about in the entertainment world. I'm not Selena, but I'm Pam, and Selena's taking a break because she's off being awesome and on vacation. So I'm here with Kyle and Merima, and we're really excited to talk to you guys this week. But before we get started, we do want to run through all of our contact information, as we usually do at the beginning of every show. So if you want to get a hold of us, remember you can always reach us on Twitter at HypeableHype. And of course, if you have rather lengthy comments, you can also leave them in the show notes on Hypeable.com. On this episode's page, we love interacting with you guys, so please feel free to chime in if we forgot to mention something or if you'd like us to talk about something in the future. We love getting feedback from you guys. So that's a great way to keep in touch with all of us. So like I said, I'm here with Kyle and Merima. Are you guys excited to get started?
Heck
yeah. Let's do it.
Woo! So let's talk about what we've been doing in fandom this week. Has anybody been doing anything exciting? Kyle, you've been like delving into comic books.
I have.
What have you been reading?
Right now it is the Thor series. Like I'm getting started. Like there's so many damn comic books out there. But Thor is like one of my favorite ones. And so I just got started with this. I don't have them next to me, so I don't know exactly which issues they are, but like it's like number one of some some Thor issue. It came out relatively new, like within the past couple years, and so just to get me grounded in comic books and Marvel and stuff, because I don't really know all that much. And so being such a Marvel movie fan and TV show fan, I figured it's about time that I, you know, start learning more about this stuff. So it's really interesting. I like never realized how quickly you get through a comic book. I don't know why, but I thought they are way longer than they are. Like I'm done with one in like 15 minutes. I'm like, are you seriously? That's it? All right. So that's what I've been doing. Maybe I'll Deadpool before it comes out.
You reading with male Thor or female Thor?
Male Thor.
Okay.
I wanted to start female Thor, and then my friend was like, no, man, you have to, like, start with, like, original Thor. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was trying to work out, like, what run you're reading, but yeah, you'll have to report back.
Yeah, I will find them. They're somewhere. I'll find them and report back.
I think it's funny because I keep meaning to do that as well. The only comics I ever read growing up was like Archie comics, but I think Merriman needs to like school us and like tell us what Seriously. We should read and what we can leave.
Well, I mean, on Hear Hype, we actually do a segment of like Comic Corner that where people suggest a character or someone who they're a big fan of, and then we give you like the 5 comics to get started with. So if people are interested in that, they can definitely listen to Hear Hype and check it out. But I'm sure I could give you guys some recs if you're into it. It's really funny that you've been reading Thor, because I read the first Magnus Chase book, which is the new series from Rick Riordan, who wrote all the Percy Jackson books. And it's about the Norse gods. Like this new series is about the Norse gods. So it's got Thor and Loki and all of them in it. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, what a funny coincidence. It's actually really, really good. I was a little bit of a new convert, I guess, to Rick Riordan. I really liked his, now I can't remember what it's called, Gods of Olympus, I think, is the second series after Percy Jackson. I liked that a lot more because it was, you know, the characters are a little older. Percy Jackson is kind of a middle grade series, so, you know, it is what it is. I think, actually, I read the first Percy Jackson books when I was at your place, Kyle. I borrowed them from your bookshelf last year. I read all of them. I read like 9 of those books in about a week while I was traveling, so they're pretty quick to get through. But the Magnus Chase book, it's called Magnus Chase and the Sword of Summer, and it's coming out in October of this year, so there's a little bit of a wait still. But yeah, I really like it. I haven't read he did like an Egyptian series, I guess, with like the Egyptian gods. I haven't read that one, but I'm definitely going to be checking this one out. It's fun with the Norse gods. It's a little different. Magnus is a really fun character. And I think people are going to really like it. It's very funny as well. Rick Riordan's books are always very funny because, you know, it's that weird juxtaposition of, like, ancient gods and then them talking about, like, Taylor Swift or whatever. So, you know, it's a good time. But, yeah, it's all Thor this week, I guess.
Do they compare well to his other series? Like, do you think, like, people would like this more so than Percy Jackson, or, like, just about the same?
It's hard with one book, but I really like Magnus. He's a really good protagonist, so I think that's a good starting place. I might even like him a little more than Percy, although Percy is good, but it's hard to compare because you've had a lot of time with Percy.
Yeah,
you know, they're pretty light kind of books in that they're very quick to get through, and this was the same. But, you know, it's funny because they talk about, oh, like, there are those movies made about the Norse gods, and they're kind of talking about the Thor movies, and it's quite funny, like, the comparison with the way that Thor is portrayed in this book series is very different from the Hemsworth version that we are used to. So I will leave it with that teaser. I don't want to, you know, spoil it for anyone. But yeah, I think if you liked his previous series, you'll like it. And if you haven't read them, this might be a good one to jump in with because, you know, Norse gods are so hot right now.
They are indeed. I feel like I dropped the ball because I didn't read anything this week. I just went to a concert. So I went to see my favorite band, All Time Low, and they were playing like this super secret show at this radio station called K-Rock. They have their own little music venue that holds maybe about 100 people total. And I just like really lucked out because my best friend's dad took pity on me and called in a favor. And he was like, you guys, she like loves this band. If you could help her get in, that'd be great. And I may have shed a tear or two. It was magical. more importantly, they also did an acoustic show at the Grove. The Grove is like this big outdoor shopping center in West Hollywood out here in Southern California. And they do this concert series every year, and they have like this great lineup of stuff. And most of the time it's like acoustic. So if you're ever visiting LA in the summer months, you would do well to kind of just look up and see if anybody's playing that you'd be interested in, because it's a really spectacular place to just kind of see a show. And you don't even really have to get there early, because once the show starts around like 8, you know, you can kind of hear it like almost throughout the whole space. And yeah, it was just a really fun night. So I highly recommend that to anybody that's out vacationing in LA next summer. And yeah, other than that, unless anybody else has anything to add, I think we can move right into the news. No?
Deadpool! Let's do it.
Yes, let's talk about Deadpool. I know is the moment we've all been waiting for. And in a surprise twist on this show, Merrima does not have the first story.
And I'm totally okay with that.
So Kyle, take it away. Tell us about this awesome Deadpool.
Can I just say, I had missed the like notification that it was going to be coming out with Conan O'Brien tonight. So I was waiting for this all day long. And I would be constantly checking my Twitter feed waiting for this trailer. And it wasn't until Daniel Zimmerman, who's also a Hypeable writer, tweeted at me. He's like, it's going to be on Conan tonight. So just like wait a couple more hours. I was like, oh, okay, fine. But it finally came out. It came out, what, about like 3 hours ago, I think, less than. And it's already over 1 million views on YouTube, which is insane. And it's so good. It is so good. I feel weird, though, because, like, I feel like Merrima should have this number one story, because I don't know anything about Deadpool, and I'm just really excited about it, because it looks hysterical. But from what I know about, like, what I've seen at, like, Comic-Con and conventions and, like, heard about Deadpool as a character, the movie seems like it's going to stay true to what I've heard about Deadpool, and that he's very sarcastic and ridiculous and hysterical, and I'm just so excited. Also, like, I'm very confused about his, like, sick look, because I can't tell if that's his look after he got superpowers. Like, you know, like, the scene where his friend is making fun of him because it looks like an avocado had sex with an older avocado? Like, I have no idea if that look is him as Deadpool or him before Deadpool.
Yeah, that's as Deadpool.
Okay.
I think it's good that you took this on, Kyle, because I'm really interested always in people's opinion who are not familiar with the comics. I feel like that's a really good measure of how well they convey the character and the story. If, like, someone who is not familiar and kind of vaguely has an idea of what it's about but nothing else is as excited as you are. And, you know, I, not to brag, but, like, I already saw this trailer at Comic-Con, like, several weeks ago. So I'm just excited that everyone else is seeing it and no one is saying, Marama, you're crazy, this trailer is terrible. Because I think I mentioned on our Comic-Con special that it got a standing ovation from the whole age crowd. And they played it twice because they just took over the panel and decided, like, they wanted to do that. That said, it's not exactly the same trailer. It's missing a couple scenes from the one that they showed at Comic-Con. And I think that's because they wanted to show a couple more of the other characters to the Comic-Con audience, especially because they had the cast there. And, you know, kind of doesn't make sense to do that in a first trailer when they're introducing the character to people. But yeah, it's exciting to be able to, you know, go and watch it on repeat now. I'm very, very excited for this. And they have the character down so well. And Ryan Reynolds just really seems to get it. It's so self-aware. It's so funny. And I cannot wait for this movie to come out.
You know what I loved about this, though, was the teaser before the teaser that came out yesterday. Like, usually I hate that stuff, especially when they do it for, like, music videos and stuff. They always release, like, the lyric video before the actual music video. This one was actually, like, really funny, and I actually was fine with it. But, yeah, the trailer overall looks amazing and just so refreshing because is he kind of like an anti-hero in a way, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, and noble heroes are great too, but it's always fun to kind of see somebody like that.
It's also great. A totally different style as well from any kind of superhero film that we've seen, like with the rating and the kind of character that he is. So that's fun.
And so great seeing like a superhero kill people. Like, I don't know. I know that sounds weird, but like seeing a superhero kill someone. Or I don't know if you would classify him as like a superhero, but it's great because you never see that. Like, all these superheroes, like Thor and all of them are like, oh no, we can't ever kill like anyone. But like, this guy like shoots three guys in the head at once. It is awesome. It's really a refreshing take, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time, I think. So, you know what? That's funny you said that about the pre-trailer, Pam, because I feel like the marketing for this has been so on point, like comparable with the Hunger Games marketing.
That's saying a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? Because they have been killing it. But, you know, every kind of aspect of this just seems kind of perfect. And all of the fans just seem – I haven't seen anyone who was like, oh, like – whatever, Deadpool. Everyone's just so excited for it. So that's a good time.
Hey everyone, it's Andrew jumping in for a quick moment to remind you that today's episode of Hype is brought to you by Audible.com. They are the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook I want you to consider today is Go Set a Watchman. This is, of course, Harper Lee's brand new novel. It's narrated by Reese Witherspoon. I know you're curious about it. Maybe you don't want to go out and actually buy a physical copy of the book. It's summertime. You're spending more time outdoors. Now is the perfect time to try Audible. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. You can get one book for free. That includes Harper Lee's Go Set a Watchman.
Something else that people are less excited about, more talk about Game of Thrones. We had a bit of news from Game of Thrones this week, so we'll just run it through it all quickly. First of all, the show is apparently going to run for 8 seasons. Sounds like a minimum of 8 seasons is what they're saying now. We kind of always knew that they were going to milk this for all they have. So both of you guys watch Game of Thrones, don't you?
Yep.
I mean, like, that, I guess, like, the 8-season thing, like, again, like you said, it's not, I don't know, I don't think it's necessarily surprising. Like, I feel like some people are like, oh, but, like, only 8 seasons, that's only, like, 3 more seasons from where we are right now. But it's, like, again, like, shows on HBO don't ever really make it past that long. So I just,
Yeah, you can't, like, you can't expect Game of Thrones to run a supernatural, like, length show.
Or even, like, a Grey's Anatomy situation where it feels like it's just going forever and ever. Like, eventually the story will run out, and whether it's 8 seasons or 10 seasons, I mean, I don't see it lasting longer than that. But
well, but they are saying they're currently planning 8 seasons. Right. So I think there is some room to move in that if they decided they wanted to extend it out. And, you know, although obviously the creative team know where the story is going, maybe things will change, or George R. R. Martin will tell them things that, you know, they should include or whatever. It's all a little it's confusing. Something else they tried to clarify, I guess, this week, and, you know, stop listening if you are somehow haven't seen the finale of Game of Thrones yet, because spoilers are coming. But Jon Snow has been hotly debated about whether he is actually dead or not following the finale, because Kit Harington has been spotted in Belfast, and, you know, he's still rocking the man bun, so he's still got the Jon Snow hairdo. They are saying he is dead. I don't think that anyone was really arguing that he wasn't, though. The question is if he's going to come back to life, which seems probably, yeah, he will. Or at least that's what I'm guessing, and I think that's what most of the internet is guessing at this point. Like, is that even going to be surprising?
No,
when he comes back?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's either that or it's going to be completely anticlimactic, because he'll just be there to, like, film a funeral scene for his character or something, and then everyone's going to be like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then one last piece of Game of Thrones news. We're starting to get some casting for season 6. And one addition that people are especially excited about is Ian McShane, who is, of course, an Emmy Award-winning actor. He is going to be joining the show, but we don't know who he's playing. So you can share your guesses with us on Twitter or in the comments. I don't really think that there's, like, a definite kind of fan theory about who he's going to be. So, you know, we'll see. But just more good casting for Game of Thrones. They always have a very strong cast. So, also unsurprising. But that's it for Game of Thrones mini episode of Hype. It's all the news.
We're all informed now. We're all caught up on the goings-on of Game of Thrones. And we're going to continue on with TV news, actually, because we have some Shadowhunters news that will probably make fans of Cassandra Clare's Mortal Instruments series really happy. EW released a bunch of brand new stills for the upcoming TV adaptation of her book, and they look really cool. Like, overall, I think fans are extremely happy with what they've seen so far from this adaptation. The photos, which you can see on hypeable.com, show the cast in the City of Bones itself, and it just looks really eerie and really cool. And to be honest with you guys, I only read the first book in this series, but this is just very, from what I remember, is very much like what I would have pictured in my head when I was reading the book. But I know Marima has read a couple of other books. I wanted to know, are you excited for this? And do you think so far they're doing a good job with adapting the story to kind of a smaller screen? Because the movie was kind of hit and miss for fans. So,
yeah, I've read them once. I think I've read them all. I've definitely read the first few and then the last one. I may have wikied the last couple before I read the last book. I genuinely can't remember. But yeah, I think as a lot of fans are saying, they look very much like their book counterparts, which people are excited for. The cast just look really good. And also, you know, the more I see of this adaptation, the more I am convinced that this is really a series that was made more for TV than for film. You know, it's so complicated, and there are so many characters to deal with, because, you know, although there's Clary and Jace, it's really not only about them after you get through, like, the first book. You have to deal with all of these characters. And to be able to give them enough time to develop them to the point where fans will actually be happy with that, you really need the amount of time that you're getting on TV. So, you know, I think it looks good. The production value looks good. The cast look really good. And, you know, it's encouraging. I think especially Magnus, people were not sure about, and Alec, and, you know, there are a couple casting announcements when they came out that people were not so sure about, but it seems like now that we're seeing people in costume, people are feeling a lot more positive about it. So yeah, I think it should be good. I will check it out.
Yeah, sure. And in 2016, we'll have to tune into ABC Family and see what this is like.
Yeah.
So we also have some Downton Abbey news that Kyle's going to walk us through.
Yes. So from something, I don't know. I was gonna try to make a transition, and then that did not transition well at all.
Wow, that was a disaster.
That was such a disaster. Oh my god. Anyway, yes, I'm so excited to talk about Downton Abbey because I feel like it's been forever since I've been able to, because it's been off the air for years. I almost said years. I mean months now. I can't talk today. So. Downton Abbey Season 6 still has not gotten a release date for the UK. However, PBS in the US has decided that it's going to air Downton Abbey on January 3rd, 2016, like they've been doing every single year for Downton Abbey. Like Andrew said, if it ain't fix it... I really can't talk. Like Andrew said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So... I don't even know if that's a saying, but
yeah, it is.
It is. Thank God.
Doesn't it usually air in the UK before the US?
Yes. It airs in around September in the UK.
Right.
And so, but the UK still hasn't actually ITV is the TV channel, I think. And they haven't announced what the date's going to be.
So would you expect that it's probably going to stick to the same kind of pattern?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, if the U.S. is doing the same thing.
Yeah, I assume. I assume it's going to be in the same thing because there's no reason to change it at this point. It's been doing this for 5 years. Then a sixth final year isn't really going to make a difference.
Right.
Plus the January ratings have been really high for the US regardless of when it airs in the UK, even though like a bunch of people try to watching it like illegally. So I think it's gonna be months apart for whatever reason that they've decided to do so for the past few years, but regardless, it's gonna be really exciting because the final season is gonna give them a chance to wrap everything up instead of doing like a Grey's Anatomy type just on and on. Like, if it kept going, I'm pretty sure everyone would die and there'd be, like, a completely different family living in Downton Abbey.
Yeah. We just, on our rundown, but I feel like this is a good place to throw in. I don't know if you guys saw the community news. Speaking of something else that's only 6 seasons, Joel McHale said that there won't be a 7th season of Community. So that's, you know, a little sad for Community fans. A little happy because maybe that means that they are getting the movie.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. There's no 7th season, but is there a movie?
Because he was basically saying, like, there can't be a 7th season because they were only signed on for 6, and now all of their value has risen so much that basically they can't afford them for a TV series. They can't afford that cast. Yeah. And so, you know, he said, yeah, they would definitely do a movie as long as Dan Harmon wrote it, who is the creator of Community. But, you know, the subtext of that also being, I guess, and assuming that they pay us all the money that we now believe we deserve. Not that they don't deserve it, but, you know, there have been instances, I think, of, like, bigger stars taking pay cuts to do TV series because they really want to. So,
yeah,
I guess that's not the case.
Right. But, you know, crowdfunding is a beautiful thing, so you never know what'll happen down the line.
Oh, God, stop. No.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's the way of our generation nowadays.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel like we've gotten past that trend, thank goodness.
Have we? I mean, Con Man was, like, just came out.
Oh, that's
right?
True.
They just premiered the first episode, and that was crowdfunded, so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it when a show ends, like, and it just ends and it's like, all right, this is the last season. This is what we're giving you. I'd much rather it do end like that than, like, prematurely ended by the friggin' network. So much easier.
That's true. Of course. Because you get closure. Because they write it knowing that it's going to end there.
Yeah, and even when some networks, give a series an ending, they tell them maybe, 12 episodes ahead of time. So, they have time to close it, but it's not necessarily the ending that they would have wanted. So, it's always so much better when they have, a full-on year to prepare. So, it's going to be awesome.
Speaking of endings, Stephen Colbert, of course, stepped down from the Colbert Report, but there is a silver lining because he'll be hosting The Late Show, and we've got the first teasers for his upcoming shindig doing that, and they're pretty, standard Colbert. I feel like if you've been missing his sense of humor, you'll be happy to see that it's still going to be very much relevant in these trailers. So it's kind of just fun ridiculousness. Mitt Romney is in one of the trailers, and then he has this whole thing about Trapper Keeper binders in another one. So they're just short little, 30-second previews, and there's three of them. You can watch them all on Hypeable.com. So if you're excited for that to premiere on September 8th, then you will definitely want to check these out. I know, Marima, you're a big fan of The Daily Show, but were you a fan of Colbert when he was around, or did you just stick with... Yeah. So are you excited for this?
I think I've talked about on Hype before, I'm not really a big fan of late night shows, just in general, late night talk shows. I'm excited for Colbert to take over The Late Show because I just hate David Letterman with, every fiber in my body. So that's a good move. He's great. I'll check it out. But I think it's also the time difference kind of thing as well. I don't have cable anymore, so I would have to seek out these shows to watch them. And I don't care that much, I don't think.
Understandable. But,
it's just, late shows, those kind of late night chat shows are just not really my thing. But I think he's going to do a really good job. I think it'll be really fun for everyone to see him out of his Stephen Colbert character. That'll be good because, he's super talented and he's obviously insanely smart. So I think the promos are pretty nothing. The promos don't really show you anything. But I'm interested to see what direction he takes the show. If he changes it up a little bit, I think that'd probably be a good idea with the new host and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually. I don't know if any of you guys watch Jerry Seinfeld's online show called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. He just kind of takes his comedian pals out.
Yes, I love that show.
So it's great, and they're 20-minute little episodes you can watch on YouTube for free. And Stephen Colbert was just on one of the episodes, and he talked a lot about stepping down from Colbert Report and stuff like that. But it's also just if you're a fan of his and you haven't watched that, you definitely want to check that out because it's really it's fun. I don't know if you watched that episode, but I really enjoyed it a lot.
Seen that? I'm not a big fan of Jerry Seinfeld as a person, although I love Seinfeld the show. So that I feel very conflicted over my love of that web series, but it is very, I would definitely recommend it. They've had Jon Stewart on it and Tina Fey's been on it.
Yeah. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on it. Yeah. Too, which is fun for Seinfeld fans. Yeah. Well.
They've had heaps and heaps of great comics. Could have a few more women, but we won't go there.
Definitely. I agree. Yeah. So Kyle, you are just all over these superhero stories.
I am.
Which is great. So why don't you tell us about this next one?
So in an attempt to actually transition well, I'm just gonna talk about the subject. So Spider-Man is going to be in Civil War, and we already knew this. We knew that he was gonna make a cameo appearance, but it seems like the appearance is gonna be bigger than a cameo, because there are reports that there's been a stuntman on the set of Civil War in Spider-Man's suit, but we haven't seen the new suit yet, which is interesting. And Tom Holland, who's cast as the new Spider-Man, was seen on set for a few days, and so that's why everyone thought it was just going to be a small cameo. But now that there's a stuntman, people are thinking, oh, maybe there's, a bigger role for him in this movie somehow. But either way, it's going to be really interesting, especially for me, as someone who is not very comic book savvy. I have Spider-Man and Captain America and all of them, I have them in two very separate universes in my head. Like, I know they're part of the same universe, but for some reason, they just don't mix in my head very well. I think maybe it's because of the Tobey Maguire movies have, like, put Spider-Man in a different path than, like, the Marvel movies have. And so, like, I don't know. It feels weird to me, the idea of seeing Spider-Man in a Marvel movie with Captain America and Thor and, like, Loki and all that. But I'm excited. And I hope it's a bigger thing than just a cameo, but I don't know. Mariama, what do you think? Because you're, like, the bigger comic book fan here.
Yeah, well, I totally get that like, weird feeling of seeing Spider-Man, like, interact with the Avengers. Although, you know, of course, in the comics, like, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man plays, actually, a very large role in the Civil War storyline in the comics. So I think people will be excited if he has a larger role. But that said, like, I personally would not be excited because it's already, like, everyone is in this film and it's meant to be Captain America, guys. I just want a Captain America film. you know, I don't know if, like, seeing having a stunt double on set for a longer amount of time necessarily means that he's going to have a larger role. Because, you know, a lot of Spider-Man just being Spider-Man would involve a stunt double. Like,
yeah.
Most of the things that he does, you would probably get a stunt double for. So maybe it just means that, like, the scene that he's in is going to be... I mean, you know, they're not going to introduce Spider-Man by having him, like, walk into Starbucks and be like, what's up?
Yeah.
So he's going to... They're going to try and introduce him in a way that's, like, exciting and, you know, befits the character, I guess. So it would make sense to me that a stunt double would probably be necessary for that. And, you know, maybe they want to get some extra shots of him doing things. You know, he's not going to be in, like, a... It's not going to be like a Stan Lee type cameo, you know, where they have one line and you see them for 10 seconds. I'm sure he'll be in a scene, but I don't know if he'll be in much more than that. You know, it's hard to say because we don't really know what direction they're going in with Civil War yet. And it could be very different from what they do in the comics, but maybe they're going to do a little homage to Spider-Man's role, I guess, by the way they introduce him. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I, you know, like I said, I would rather there were less people in this movie and there just seems to be more every time we talk about it. So that's fine. I'm totally okay with this happening, she says, convincingly.
For now. Until the movie comes out and then you just cry in a corner.
I mean, look. It's not out of the question.
So I mean, we'll see. Know what, though? I feel you. Because if this is going to be, like, the last Cap film we get, then, yeah, you're right. Like, I would rather have it focus on, like, finishing up that storyline with Steve than kind of using it as a springboard to kind of propel other people's storylines. Like, I know, like, most of these movies have to do that because they have to keep the plot going, but... I guess all we can hope for now is that, you know, it does focus on the character it's supposed to focus on. So,
yeah, we'll see. I'm sure definitely. We'll have more news about it next time because everything is. But, okay, before I descend into Spider-Man rage, let's do some book news because I guess I'm the token superhero and the token book person. Warm Bodies 2. It's happening. It's finally complete. Isaac Marion, the author, tweeted that he's finished the book. It's called The Living. It almost killed him. People are, wow, what happened on this article? There's like 42,000 Facebook likes. All right, someone posted this somewhere. People are very excited about this, and I'm very excited about this. I loved the Warm Bodies book. I love the Warm Bodies film, and the producers of the film have already said that they would be interested in adapting his sequel when he finished it. So, you know, maybe we'll get a movie sequel as well because the movie actually did really well. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but yeah, I really like
it. I've seen it and I've read the book and I totally agree. It was one of those books that just kind of completely sucked me in. And I thought they did a really good job with the movie. Like, you know, they changed a couple of things because you need to when you adapt anything. But overall, it was just a really well done film. So I would love to see them bring the cast back and kind of tackle this, assuming that, you know, it's It's good. Like, I always get kind of worried when there's so much buildup to sequels, especially when novels are concerned, especially when I like the first book so much. And this has been a long time in the works. So I'm excited, but also apprehensive to get this when it comes out.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. So we don't know heaps about it yet. It looks like it's going to be, he was predicting it was going to be like 500 to 600 pages, whereas the first one was 230. And we don't have a release date yet, but I guess maybe sometime next year. And, you know, the picture that he tweeted is very funny. If you haven't seen that, you can check that out on Hypervolt. But yeah, I really, really loved the film. I don't know if I liked it more than the book, but definitely at least equal. You know, like you said, they kind of took it in a different direction. And if you haven't seen the film, people at home, then you should watch it, because it's like this hilarious parody of like a zombie movie kind of, and it's amazing. And I thought it was going to be ridiculous, and I watched it and was like, this is probably the greatest movie I've ever seen. So
you're totally right, because so like good. He took it in such a weird way with the fate of the zombies that it could have been so cheesy, but it ended up being so good.
Yeah,
in the book and in the movie. And plus Nicholas Holt is in it, and who doesn't love Nicholas Holt?
Oh, I love him so much.
I love him.
Everyone
loves
him.
Yeah, everyone loves Nicholas Holt.
So true. Okay, and keeping on the book news, we also heard that William Shatner is writing a book about Leonard Nimoy, who, of course, passed away in February of this year, very sadly. There's already a documentary. I guess Leonard Nimoy's son is making a documentary about his father's life, but now William Shatner has announced that he's going to write about him. And I think this is so sweet, because they were really, really close. They, you know, he talks a little bit about in this article about how their like career trajectory and their personal life, like the trajectory of both of those, kind of matched up for them in a weird way, that, you know, he calls him his brother, and it's really sweet. And I think, you know, probably this will kill all of our hearts, because it will just be very sad. But also, you know, it's a really nice tribute to his friend. And, you know, he's written other books, so I don't think we have to worry that, like, it's going to be terrible or anything. And, yeah, it's, you know, I think it's nice. I don't know if you guys are big Star Trek fans, but either way, I think probably it would be, like, a really interesting insight into both of them, even if you're not huge fans of the series.
Yeah, I've never really watched the series, but I do love William Shatner. I watched him back when he was on Boston Legal.
I got my favorite show.
Yes. It's...
What, Kyle, why have we never talked about this? That is a masterpiece of television.
It's so good. So good. And so, like, I love him. And so, like, I love basically almost everything he does, which I don't know how much truth that has, because I haven't seen Star Trek, but whatever. I'm really actually looking forward to this, because Leonard Nimoy is such a huge part of, like, the sci-fi genre. I mean, they both are, obviously. So I think it's going to be really touching and really awesome. So I definitely plan on reading it when it comes out.
Are we all still here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that was just a really weird
super silence. Quiet, and I didn't know what happened. That dropped or what. But we're just going to... Okay, so we have one more story for you guys. And just like Merrimet is the token comic book and book person, I guess I'm the token music person. But I'm also really excited about this story because, oh my God, One Direction. And so the boys dropped their first Zaneless single, or late Thursday night, depending on where in the world you were. And yeah, they kind of pulled a Beyonce with this one. Like, I think Harry Styles was the first to tweet, and all it was like a link to an iTunes page, and then bam, there was the song. So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to listen to this, but I'm really digging it right now. Like, it's definitely in my kind of tail end of summer playlist on Spotify, and it's just a really fun song. In our article, we analyzed it as maybe being about a romantic relationship that can kind of keep your spirits high even if you're feeling low. But the first time I heard this song, all I could think of was like Larger Than Life by the Backstreet Boys. So take that what you will, but I would love to hear your guys' thoughts if you guys have heard it, or if you're listening to this and you want to talk about the One Direction single, feel free to tweet us what you think.
I only listen to the like 30 or 60 second preview or whatever it is on iTunes like the night that they announced it, because I just so happened to load Twitter when Harry tweeted that. It was like a 1 minute thing. I was like, oh, there's a new song. I didn't realize how big of a deal it was that like he had just announced it. And so I was like, oh, whatever. Like, but I listened to it, I think, the next day. And when I realized, like, how big of a deal it was. And I don't know. The 30-second or 60-second preview probably doesn't do it justice, but I wasn't a huge fan.
You should definitely listen to the whole thing when you get a sec. I think you might be swayed.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Kyle. I just listened to it as you guys were talking about it. Just the preview of it. I don't love it. You know, I'm not a huge One Direction fan, but they have a couple of songs that I do like because they're very catchy. And I guess it sounds a little different from their other stuff, which is fine. But like, I like a very particular type of One Direction song. So I'm probably not the target audience for it. But, you know, I could definitely see it. Maybe you could like get on your gym playlist or something, you know. I could see it fitting in there.
Not even the treadmill can drag you down, you know.
Seriously. Yeah, those weights can't drag you down.
Nobody can drag you down. I should also mention, for anybody that's kind of interested, because Narima talked about the new direction of their sound that they have said in the past, that they are kind of moving towards a more rocky vibe. Liam in particular cited the 90s band Oasis as one of the big influencers on this album. So,
No.
But to be fair, Drag Me Down does not strike me as an Oasis situation.
Were they even alive when Oasis was released?
Probably not.
No, but they're proper British, and Oasis is super British. So, The other interesting thing about this single, by the way, you guys, is that the news of the new song also came the same week that Zayn announced he was signing to RCA to launch his own solo career. But if you were hoping for a cat fight between Zayn and the rest of the boys, that's clearly not going to happen. And he tweeted his support about the single. So it looks like it's all good in the One Direction world, and the fans are happy and the boys are happy. So everybody's happy for now.
Boring.
Hey, I know you wanted more drama, but I don't have it for you.
Well, maybe next time.
That's true. There's always next time. So that wraps it up for the news. But of course, we do want to get to our TV show of the week segment. So let's see here. I think we're going to save Merrima's for last, because I feel like she will have a lot of things to say about this. So let's start with Kyle. Kyle, this is a Netflix show that you watched, right?
Yeah. So I did not watch The Descendants like everyone on the Hypebol staff thought I was going to. I got like 3 text messages this weekend going like, hey, have you seen like The Descendants yet? I'm like, no, I have not. I don't know. I think because I'm a Disney person and people assume that I watch all things Disney that I was going to, but I did not.
That's because you mostly do. Like, that's a fair assumption.
It's true. No, yeah. I watched a little something way different, and it's called Grace and Frankie. Have you guys heard of it on Netflix?
Is that the Jane Fonda one?
Yeah, it's with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, and their husbands, like, leave them for each other.
Yeah, they're like...
it looks funny.
Yeah,
I watched the promo stuff.
Early 70s, I think, is what they're in. And they get left by their husbands for... And it's hysterical. It's so funny. Every episode's, like, 30 minutes long, and it's only, like, 13 episodes. So, definitely worth the time. It's one of Netflix's most interesting shows, I think. I want to say it's like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, but it's like a combination of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and Will and Grace. I think that's a good, fair assumption.
What a weird combo.
I know. No, because Lily Tomlin is like this hippie chick who is so much like Grace, and like on Will and Grace. And then Grace, which is Jane Fonda, is so much like Will. She's like the more like straighter, like more business-like person. And it's great. So I recommend you all go and watch it, or at least the first few episodes, plus the intro. I still can't figure it out if it's CGI or actually like filmed, because it's like a cake breaking up, and I Google the intro and you'll know what I mean. It's very confusing.
Cool. Sounds good. I have to check that out. I meant to actually watch that while I was overseas on someone's Netflix, but then I forgot. My bad.
Yeah, I heard a lot of raves from, I think, Mike about this over summer. So
all of my gay guy friends are like all over it.
That's probably why.
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to our friend Mike.
I love Lily Tomlin so much. Yeah. So, yeah, it looked funny.
So I watched AMC's new sci-fi show Humans over the past week. I haven't finished the first season, but I'm about 3 episodes in. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, like, the biggest draw for this show was the fact that Colin Morgan is in it. We all know I loves me the Colin Morgan, so I had to watch it. But it's actually really good. If you guys like movies like Artificial Intelligence, or even like the newer Ex Machina movie that came out couple months back, I believe, then you're probably going to really like this, because it takes place in this kind of parallel, but also maybe like not too distant futurized version of London, where the hot commodity is these synth robots that pretty much help you out with your housework, and they're just freakily human-like. So they're not really supposed to have human emotions or have human thoughts or have opinions or anything like that. But, there's kind of a glitch with some of them, which is something that you find out in the first episode, where they're kind of starting to think for themselves. And Colin's character is a guy named Leo, and he's kind of rounding up all these synths, but you don't really know why, and you don't know if he's human or if he's a robot himself, but it just kind of propels from there. So if you guys are into sci-fi, and you're looking for something fun to watch, the first season just wrapped last week. It's only 8 episodes long. Supposed to be just a mini series, but I believe I've heard some rumors that they might be going into a season 2 because it's done so well. So that is something I highly recommend if you guys are interested in that kind of stuff.
You know, I'm genuinely curious if Colin Morgan was in something that was just really bad. I wonder if you would say it was really bad, or you would say, you like, you know what? Actually, like, it was actually like really kind of cute.
No, I would say no. I'd be like, she would say, love you, but no.
Yeah, okay. Like, Anne would be I watched this terrible show. Colin Morgan was great. The show was the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, she would break it down.
I would break it down. I'm totally blushing right now because I feel like you called me out. No.
I feel you. I get it.
I really do. Like, if he did something that was bad, like, I would be like, you know, he's done better. But this is like legitimately, like, I was intrigued. I will say though that my friend watched it, and she was kind of like so-so on it, because she didn't really like kind of the portrayal of the laziness that humanity had become. But that was more just because it was too real, you know, like, humans are lazy, and of course they would want robots to do everything, and of course children in households couldn't help parents with their chores, so of course they need to have this robot, you know, stuff like that. But those are more like technicalities than like, oh, this is not interesting. But I will say I was pleasantly surprised by this, because I didn't really think I was going to enjoy it, but I am genuinely intrigued. So I will report back when I finish the season. I mean, maybe the season really sucks at the end, and then I'm just going to be like, no. And then I'll break it down for real.
But okay.
3 episodes in, it's pretty good.
I was trying to work out who my Colin Morgan is. Like, who is my person? I think it's Natalie Dormer.
Natalie Dormer is a good one.
I think it's Natalie Dormer.
Oh, my God. I feel like this is going to come back to bite me in the butt. Whole conversation.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, let me talk about Unreal. Let me talk about Unreal. I talked about this last week, didn't I? Guys, I'm so obsessed with this show. This is the greatest show I've seen this year, for sure. Unreal is the Lifetime show that's like the behind-the-scenes making of a Bachelor-type reality show, and the protagonist is like one of the producers on the show, and it's amazing. I wrote an article about it this week about like the kind of complicated feminism of Unreal and why it's really important, because it's basically a show that like allows and encourages you to root for these female characters who are really terrible people, and that might be like, whoa, Marama, like that's not feminist, like shouldn't we have positive, you know, portrayals of women? Totally. But also, like, every single show has, you know, like Mad Men or Breaking Bad, all of these shows are, you know, very much anti-heroes, and that until now has been something that's been sort of restricted to male characters. So it's really exciting to watch a show like this that doesn't punish the female characters for acting in the same way. You know, it's not like a fall from grace type show. It's a show where like they can totally win because they're really good at their jobs. And the season finale was this week and it was amazing. It was definitely the best episode of the season. I know I've seen some people have been a little put off by the last couple episodes, but if you had given up on it, definitely watch the finale at the very least, because, you know, it kind of had all of the best aspects of the series and it cut out some of the melodrama that I think was putting some people off. Basically, I don't want to spoil it, but basically the finale is the finale of the reality show that they're making, and it's a wedding and it's like a live taping. So you see them, how they would produce this live taping of this event. And, Constance Zimmer is just amazing. I'm obsessed with her. Her character Quinn is like one of my favorite characters on TV right now. And if you guys are not watching this, you need to watch it. You need to at minimum watch this season finale because it's so good. And it's like 40 minutes. So like as if you can't commit to that.
You know, I'm so happy that Selena wrecked this show like a while back, because it's probably my favorite show that has premiered this summer. Like I'm just like you. I just can't look away. Yes. It's so great. And it's so like, I mean, it's so raw, because it's not, I mean, the showrunners actually did used to work on shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, so they kind of know what they're talking about. And it, if you ever wanted to know what goes on behind the scenes, like it's kind of disgusting, but it's also just like makes for great television. Like it's better than, you know, the reality shows we actually do have, and it's a scripted drama. But yeah, I'm just over here like, how are you going to top season one with season two is like my question. So I'll be interested to see how it picks back up. But
I think they've set it up nicely to go into season two, because the, like you said, the showrunners, they used to work on The Bachelor, and they've been doing some interviews about that, but they've also been talking about season two and saying like they're not entirely sure what direction it's going in yet, which, you know, maybe they are and they're just playing coy or who knows, but they've set up the way that the show ended has set up season two so that there are a lot of possibilities that are still open. And like you said, they've definitely set the bar pretty high for themselves. But, you know, I have confidence in them that they can find something. Like they were throwing around some ideas in the season one finale of like what show they would do the next year. And some of them I was like, yeah, I would watch that. Like I would watch a show about you making that show. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's sad because it's obviously the season's over now, so I can no longer make this my TV show of the week. But I feel like I just want to make it my TV show of the year because it was amazing, and I can't see anything topping it.
You know which other one I really like, though? I'm not sure if you like got into this, but E had that show Royals on this summer too, and I kind of got wrapped up in that as well, but then Unreal came in and kind of just swept that under the rug, and I was like, no, but this is the best show of the summer. Oh. Like I didn't even need to watch Big Brother because Unreal was just so awesome. Usually that's my guilty pleasure.
I can't believe you watch Big Brother. No, this is the thing. Unreal is a guilty pleasure. Unreal is like a genuinely good TV show. It's not like a guilty. I mean, I am a person who I hate reality shows. Like I can't watch Big Brother or The Bachelor, like any of those shows. I just can't watch them. Like it makes me want to die inside. And so, you know, in a way I feel like I'm not the target audience for something like Unreal, because you kind of need to have an interest in that. But it's just so well done that even though I don't like soap operas and I don't like reality shows, I still can't stop myself from watching this. And yeah, I like you know, I wouldn't want anyone to listen to this and be like, oh, it's like a kind of camp, like soap opera show. Like, no, it's a really good TV show. It happens to be on Lifetime, which doesn't do it any favors, but it's actually really well written and really well done. So I haven't seen Royals, but I know some people who were into that. I'm not sure if that's really my my thing, but we'll see. Maybe I'll check it out after I've watched Grace and Frankie, I guess, now. That'll have to be next.
So, and now I have to watch Unreal. Like,
yeah,
you'll watch Grace and Frankie, not watch Unreal.
It's like remaining silent through all of that because he's embarrassed that he hasn't watched it.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's going to be, as long as you're on the bandwagon, doesn't matter if you're late to the bandwagon. You
That's
know what I
true.
Mean?
So yep. true.
Yeah.
Kyle, so. We'll stretch a hand out and pull you up on this bandwagon.
Exactly.
All right.
Run faster, though, because we can only stretch our hands out so far.
So. I'm pretty short, so, you know, That's I don't true. Have a lot of reach.
I'm a little taller, but not by much.
All right. I guess let's jump into Hot on Hypeable, some of the features that we had going on this week. As we mentioned last week, we were recording, it was J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter's birthday coming up. We had a whole bunch of Harry Potter articles, so I thought I would run through them for you today in case anyone missed out on any of them. Probably my favorite one was, we did this article, Katie wrote this, it was ranking all of Harry's birthdays from worst to, like, basically even worse, because they're basically all terrible. All of his birthdays have been sort of appalling, and when you read them all, like, in a list like this, you realize, like, man, this kid, he did well to get out of that house. So that was very fun. I enjoyed that a lot. I wrote up some of the Easter eggs in the Harry Potter books that that I, you know, have spotted over my time, and we kind of opened up the comments so, like, people could share other Easter eggs, other, like, little things that they noticed. Not, you know, not, like, foreshadowing things, but just, like, small things. Like, you know, when in Chamber of Secrets, when Ron is, like, doing detention and they're cleaning all of the trophies and he, like, wonders what Tom Riddle got his special award for the school. He's like, oh, maybe he killed Myrtle. Like, that would get him an award because, you know, at this time they, like, hate her, obviously. And then it's like, haha, joke's on you because, yes, he did kill her with his giant creepy snake. So, you know, some fun things like that, which you can check out in that article. And what else do we have? Oh, Natalie did a fun quiz, which was, who said it, J.K. Rowling or her Harry Potter characters? Did you guys take this? This was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
No, I've been waiting, but I kind of want to now that you've brought it up.
Yeah, I think you should take it. And okay. And then, like, you can let us know on, like, Twitter or something how you did. I think I got exceeds expectations when I did it. So, you know, not quite outstanding because, like, some of the things, well, she talks in a way that's, like, very similar to how she writes some of her characters. And some of the quotes are very short as well, so it's difficult to place them. Of course, all the people in the comments on Hypeable are like, I got 100%, I got 100%. Well, good for you. I did not, so.
When people say that, I'm like, yeah, but did you Google? Like, because I don't know you from Adam. And
oh, it's just that it's only the people who do really well who, like, want you to know.
That's fair enough. So
make you bad by yourself, because then you're like, yeah, I did really well. I got, like, 85%. And everyone's like, I got 100. This was so easy. And you're like, I'm a bad Harry Potter fan. Oh,
so. And J.K. Rowling did the Wombats quiz, and it was actually, like, legitimately hard on her.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, that was, like, I had, like, panic attacks about that one.
Yeah, I think. I was just excited because they were called Wombats, and that was, like, a fun That's thing true. For Australia. We were like, yes, represented. yeah, so this is not quite as hard as that, but it's, you know, it's a little tricky, some of them. And then we also had the most inspirational quotes from the Harry Potter series. I think Selena did this one. Selena is really into the quote articles, and she makes really nice graphics. So if you check that out, there's, like, all the quotes and then some nice graphics you can put on your, like, Tumblr. Is that what the kids do these days? The Tumblr?
Or your Instagram.
You put on Instagram or, like, whatever. It's, you know, we all like a good inspirational Harry Potter graphic. So can't argue with that.
Motivational Monday is coming up. You can hashtag that. You can tag Hypeable.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know.
We love that. Yeah.
And then something else that people were sharing with us is we asked for people to share their Harry Potter tattoos, because we wanted to put together this like fun article of different Harry Potter tattoos, and like heaps of you guys tweeted at us and shared them with us, so that was really fun of you. And you know, I guess if people are feeling any I guess, you know, some people like tattoos on other people but not on themselves. So if you're that person, like, you can check this out. And if you're also looking for inspiration, you can totally go and steal someone's tattoo idea, because like they're all really nice. I mean, maybe don't steal it, but like, you know, get some inspiration. They're pretty cool. I, you know, I look at things like this and I'm like, I want a Harry Potter tattoo, because it just seems like these people have way better street cred than me now.
You could get a subtle one. Like, I have a really subtle one. I don't ever really talk about it, but yeah. So
that's true. And Kyle has like Kyle has a million tattoos, but none are Harry Potter themed, I don't think.
No.
I thought you had
well,
one for some reason.
Well, kind of. I have a lightning bolt on my arm.
Oh yeah. So well, I guess that is, yeah.
It's like kind of.
Yeah.
It's funny because like mine is it's just the three stars that are on all the pages on the US book editions, but it's like people that have the Bloomsbury editions don't really get it, which is fine. Yeah. Like, it's not a big deal.
Em had to explain it to me when I first saw it, because I was like, huh, I don't get it.
You're like, what is this? Yeah. But, you know, it was like, I look at it and I'm just like, oh, that makes me happy. And it's like, it's subtle enough that it's not like, bam, golden snitch on my leg. You know, it's just a tiny little thing, and it just, yeah, it makes me happy. Maybe Kyle and I will share our pictures on the on the Instagram or something.
A lot of the ones in here are like quite subtle, like smaller ones as well. But you know, there are some big ones because everyone has different tastes. But I think some of these are so nice, so definitely check those out. And then finally, to wrap it up, because Harry is not good all the time, we have all of the times Harry Potter was horrible, but we loved him anyway. Which is basically a collection of like sassy Harry gifts from the movie, and which is a really good time. And definitely check that out, because Harry, not always a nice person, sometimes kind of a jerk, and yet we love him. So of course we wish J.K. Rowling a very happy birthday, and Harry Potter, who would be so old, he would have been 35 this year.
Wow.
I know, he's like going into his like, you know, crisis of like, he's probably between jobs and like paying off his mortgage and stuff. I think I tweeted out some things of like what the next Harry Potter book would be like. And yeah, it's kind of depressing when you think about that Harry's like old and boring now, but you know, whatever. Anyway,
also, I got
a really positive note.
I got 8 out of 15 on that quiz. So,
oh man, it's hard. Oh.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah,
I gotta take this. Maybe after we're done recording, I'll take this.
Yeah, I think I got like a 12 or a 13, whatever exceeds expectations is around that. So, Pam, you'll have to take it and report back. But that's it for Hot on Hyperbole. Of course, you can find all of those articles on hyperbole.com and a whole lot of more fun things that we can't talk about because we have too much going on and we can't fit it all in the show. So you'll have to go to the site and see it for yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Marima. I always love this segment on Hyperbole because even though we work on there, sometimes I feel like we miss certain stories, and so it's always fun to bring those to light for the listeners and for ourselves. So we are going to wrap things up with listener feedback as always. So before we do that, we do want to remind you one more time about our contact information. If you are on Twitter, please feel free to tweet us at twitter.com/hypeablehype. And if you have rather lengthier comments or want to respond to something that we talked about on the show or maybe missed or, you know, didn't talk about at all, you can always leave those on the show notes of the latest episode on hypeable.com. And we're just going to get right to it.
And we have Instagram.
That's right. We do have an Instagram. We're trying to post more stuff. So we are at Hypeable Hype on Instagram. We're trying to keep things nice and fluid and consistent for you guys, so it's really easy for you all to find us. And yeah, we're trying to kind of post like flashbacks from things that we have done in the past or kind of keep you guys updated on how we're hyping every week on there. So follow that if you so wish, and we'll also be pushing it to our Twitter. So definitely follow us on Twitter, if anything, because that's when you'll get the latest news. Sarah Preston is our first listener that left us a comment on Twitter. Speaking of the Twitter, her handle is at waffles92. She says, "The Martian audiobook is amazing. The reader is so good. Go listen. Go fast." Mirma talked about The Martian last week, so I'm sure this is really going to excite her.
Yeah, and I think Selena was listening to it, so we'll have to pass that on to her because – it was so good. Oh, I can't get into this. I'll just start talking about Matt Damon again. All right. let me do some feedback then to distract myself.
Cool. Thank you.
KSC said to me, "I'm with you. Pitch Perfect 3 has got me excited, and I don't care if it's exact same formula once again. I love the cast." And I'm totally with you, Kay. We were talking about that last week, I think, about the Pitch Perfect 3 release date. And yeah, I'm really excited. I know, you know, Kyle especially is like, "Oh, they're all the same," but whatever, they're all the same. They're all fun. It's a good time.
Good point, yeah.
Kyle, you want to take the next one?
Shelly at Shelly Bookworm says, "Listening to the recent Hypeable Hype and Selena Wilkins ant puns are killing me in a good way." Yes, she made an immense amount of ant puns. It was insane. Yes.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
I think I stole that from her. Okay, we had some comments on our last podcast as well. Laura said, "I know you guys were bashing Disney The Descendants movie. I saw it and read the book that goes along with Isle of the Lost. It's a prequel novel. I really liked it. I like the actors and the storyline. It was not perfect, but it was super cute. I hope you guys give it a chance and read the book. It made the movie way more complex with the book backstory." I actually didn't realize that this was based on a book. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did, actually. It's Melissa De La Cruz who wrote it. And I think she also wrote the Blue Bloods series as well, which is a vampire book. But don't quote me on that. So, yeah, that's actually available in bookstores. And I haven't picked it up, but last time I was perusing through the aisles at my local Barnes & Noble, I noticed a lot of people picking it up, so it might be worth a read if anybody's interested in that. I haven't seen Descendants yet, but I'll probably be watching that at some point. So,
yeah, I haven't seen it. I mean, I think what you're saying about bashing it is just like I mentioned that I watched the opening musical number and it was like the worst thing I've ever seen, which I stand by because that was ridiculous. But one of our writers, Danielle, she watched it and she actually really, really liked it, and she wrote a review of it, which you can read on Hypeable. And and she also wrote a list of things that she would like to see in a sequel, but I think one of the things on that list was no more musical numbers. So I stand by my assessment of the musical number because it did seem really, really ridiculous. But you know, I think overall people have been saying the movie was pretty cute. So yeah, if you want to read a review of someone who was really positive about it, Laura, you can check that out on Hypeable and the wish list for season 2 as well.
Yeah. Sweet. Thanks for reminding us about that. That's really good for our listeners to know that even if we don't agree with something, chances are our writers have different opinions than we do. So we have one more comment to get through. Kyle, do you want to take the last one?
Yeah. Allison L. says, "In regards to the Scorch Trials, I think that I read somewhere that they have sort of did a little bit of blending the second and third book together to help keep the storyline and pacing running smoothly. As a reader of the whole series, I did think that Scorch Trials in particular was a bit slow, so I really like the idea of a blend to keep it moving. I also really trust Wes Ball with these adaptations, especially because he has worked extremely close with James Dashner, who has okayed all of the changes and seems really excited about them. So I think that's why the trailer might not look a lot like the book." So, I haven't read the books, but from the trailer, it looks awesome. And if they had to combine books, then I don't see a problem with it. But I'm not a book fan, so I probably shouldn't complain.
How refreshing that somebody thought to combine books instead of split them up.
Right?
Right.
So, like that's wonderful if this actually is the case. I've only read the first two. I haven't read The Death Cure, but I feel like if this is the case, I might have to read that before the movie comes out.
Yeah, I've only read The Maze Runner, but I really like The Maze Runner movie. And like Kyle said, I feel like I probably doesn't matter so much if I care if it's different from the book, because, you know, book readers always feel generally very strongly one way or the other. But they have done a really great job with adapting definitely the first book, which I can speak to because I have read, and the Scorch Trials trailer and all of the promo stuff and what they showed at Comic-Con looks really, really good. So you know, maybe it'll be a case of like kind of a warm bodies thing where they're quite different in a way, but like just as good. So that would be fun if that's kind of how it ended up.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And with that note, we're actually about to wrap up the show. But before we go, we just want to say thanks again for listening. And again, if you guys have any thoughts about what we discussed or want to add to the conversation, please don't hesitate to tweet us at HypeableHype or leave comments in the show notes for this episode on Hypeable.com. And with that, we will see you guys next time. My name is Pamela.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Arama.
Woo! We did it, you guys. Bye. All right, I'll see you guys later.
Bye.